Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Saturdays podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
Welcome, everyone. I'm grateful everybody could make it. I'll just start with this great announcement. We are debt-free. So that happened. And that is awesome. It really frees us up to move forward, to get some things rolling. And, you know, I'm excited. It's fun to have a leader team meeting. We're going to have a leader team meeting in 2 weeks, and it's fun to talk about, hey, what do we want to do with what just got freed up in the budget, instead of, hey, what can we cut out so we can pay the debt? So it's a totally different spirit. The other thing that you guys may not know, I don't know if I told you, we set aside a certain portion of what comes in to send out. So as a church, we're sowing seed. We're supporting the Rock Honduras, Kate, some other ministries around the country. I'm a big proponent of sow where you want to go. They're not secret. We can tell you about them. I just don't want to do it right now. You know, we see there's a church in Baltimore, and they're on like their ninth house of people. They're filling up. They're finding people on drugs, people living on the street, and they're filling these houses up, and people are having radical encounters with the Lord through that ministry. So we sow a little bit to them, because you know what? I would love to do that. Now, I can't have everybody move into my house, but I'm not opposed to us owning a house and working that way. So we're sowing where we want to go into some of those things. So what's really cool is we set aside a certain portion of our giving to get, of what we receive to give, and we project throughout the year what that's going to look like and how much we're going to give to all these places. And I would say last month we completed our projection for the year of our giving.
2 months ago.
So early. So now there's also this problem where we need to decide where to give the extra percentage that we're giving away. So good problems to have, different problems. That said, we're still working through the doing business as the Well, so make checks out to Rock still. We don't want any, we'll be fine. But anyway, the bank's not keen on us cashing checks to things that aren't actually our name yet. You know, that makes sense, banks. Anyway, so if you brought something to give, just hold it in your hand. I'm going to pray over it. Lord, I just pray that you continue to multiply the seed that comes in, that you would release creativity in this place for how we can use that seed to reach the community. Lord, that you would give us creative ways to meet the need of the community around us. But Lord, most of all, we pray that you would work in the giver's finances. Lord, that they would have similar testimonies to the church of how you're wiping away debt and how you're moving in abundance so that we can move forward and build your kingdom all together. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. So if you did bring something to give at your leisure, put it in the basket at the back. So another awesome announcement. On November 8th, we're going to eat. We're going to have a meal after church. Good announcement. The details are, we prayed for the gray to be wiped away. So by next week, we'll have details on that. But just know, plan to stay an extra hour, 2, 5, whatever, and eat. Some of you guys received a text message this week about an event that happened yesterday. If you're sitting here thinking, I did not receive a text message, we need to get you signed up. So on the bulletin, which I know all of you get and take copious notes on, it shows you how to do that. And I'll read it to you, but you're all going to just say, huh? It's text. You send a text to 313131, and you use the code EZKWI14252. And then you will subscribe to our text messages. Text messages is a tool that we only use should there be a weather cancellation or to remind you of something that's happening. You don't get texts from me like, hey,
send money.
No, we don't do that. It's a good idea, actually. No, but what's fun is when you respond to those texts, nobody gets them. And every once in a while, I log in to send another text, and I see all your questions. So should you receive a text from the church and you have a question, here I am. Text me at my real number, and I will answer your question.
How do you get your real number?
Pause.
Can't give it right now.
and during work hours, you know, hours that you're receiving mail, I'm usually not as available. just for now. That's how that works. So, but yeah, reach out anytime. And then if you haven't yet, follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Also, we've gotten some great Google reviews. We could use a few more. So we're working through that. I got an email. Man, I want to say, I don't know. I got an email from Google and 200 people in the last 30 days have looked at our Google Maps listing. So people are looking, and it's crazy because they keep saying, hey, give us money to advertise it. And I'm like, I don't need more than 200 people to look at it. Thanks. But that's been awesome. So there's a need here for a church, and people, most of those are coming from people Googling church near me. So that's them saying, hey, I'd like to find a church. So anyway, I totally dropped the ball about the event that happened yesterday. We didn't do any announcements here. I had forgotten to announce it. And then we were able to send a text, and those people that received the text knew what was going on. So we use it for weather cancellations, nice reminders, and when Matt drops the ball, it's a good tool to fix that.
So, how did the event go? That's the first time you've opened the second time.
So I came out, and it was awesome. They had all the chairs moved. They had tables set aside. They raised nearly $200 for Kate. And for a first event, right, Blaine?
I believe so, yeah.
For a first event, went really well. A few people came. There was people, yeah. So, I brought my dog too because I thought it was outside, but it was cold and dark when I got here. So, anyway, we were inside. So dog may or may not have been in the building. All right.
We could have a dog
event. I would be fine with that.
Again,
my dog is a rescue, so we're still filling him out. But
and dogs are like people that sometimes there's good genetics, sometimes, you know, they don't like everybody.
Yes, but people have the ability to overcome that.
Yes. They need to learn.
Sorry, I get excited about loving people and loving through hard things.
Dog's gonna teach you a lot.
Totally off topic, but my dog's gonna teach me a lot. All he does is sleep. He's great. No, all he does is sleep. All he wants to do is sleep. I said, you want to go outside? He gets in his bed. He's a good dog.
He's a rescue.
All right, we're gonna edit the heck out of this podcast. All right, so if you guys have your Bibles, open them to John chapter 3. I'm super excited to share with you this morning. I wish I had a nice four-point sermon. I do not have a nice four-point sermon. This passage, John chapter 3, you guys know I get up and I have this, what I call my creative time with the Lord. And sometimes that's reading scripture. Sometimes it's worship. Sometimes it's reading a book. But it's my creative time with the Lord. And what I usually do is I wake up and I ask the Lord, like, where do you want me to read? And through just a little thing that happens in my head, I get a chapter and a book. And that's where I read. And then I find the treasure the Lord wants me to find. That's how I do it. I know that there's a great, systematically study the Bible. That's good. But for me, I get up and I ask the Lord. And probably about a year ago, every single morning, John chapter 3. And it kept going on and on and on. And sometimes I was like, I get it. I read this. I understand it. And I was like, you know, some mornings I just wanted to stay in bed because I didn't want to read John chapter 3 again. You guys remember we had a season where every morning the Lord was telling me one of the letters of Paul. And I was in the letters and we were preaching about the letters. And people made this really funny joke how the mailman was reading the letters, and it was kind of corny. People did it, and they kept doing it, and lots of different people thought it was a new original idea and talked to me about it. But so anyway, I was in John chapter 3 for this long period of time, and it started again. You know, so I got in, and I'm like, Lord, what do you want me to see in here? I get this. Now, this is about being born again. And for me, what I'm going to share, you know, I think it's changing the way I view God, and hopefully it helps you guys. You guys might be like, hey, we already got this. For some reason, it took you a year to get it. But the other thing that happened to me during that time is I had all these human thoughts like, maybe this thing that worked for me for so long, I don't hear God anymore. You know, why am I reading John chapter 3? So I had to process all that, but it's like, what was I not seeing that the Lord wanted me to see? And so, I don't think this is some hidden wisdom or some brand new revelation. But it's plain as day, and I've never actually connected the dots before. And if you guys think about it, connect the dot. Remember back to grade school? I don't know if they did them for all you guys, but they would pass out these connect the dots. And there was this little bit of excitement as you followed these dots around. And you saw, like, oh, that's a bear. And you were kind of like, aha, awesome. Do you have another one? Maybe a better one? And so, and a lot of times when you're little, you connect the dots wrong, and you can't tell what it is. And so, but this is a great way to say, like, you're developing a picture of who God is and the nature of God in your head by connecting the dots. And it's worth actually considering that you have some dots in your picture that maybe came from you, maybe came from a religious system, maybe came from culture as we approach who God is. So, you know, this is a good way to look at this. You know, as you spend time with the Lord, in his word and worship in his presence, your dots start to look more like what actually is a clear picture of him. You get to see who God really is. So, you know, and as we talk about those dots that aren't necessarily grounded in truth, it's interesting. We have to talk about truth. Truth is not liquid. You know, what's true for you is true for me, and what's true for me is true for you. And the Bible is our standard for truth. We don't get to decide what is true. You see this trend in some believers where they have this great revelation of a good God that loves, and they can't equate that with there actually being a hell. So they invent a new truth. And they start these phrases like, I feel like, or I think that a good God would not send people to a hell. And this isn't the message today, but I don't care I care what you think and what you feel. I care about you as a person. But when we talk about what's truth, what you think or feel has no bearing on what's true.
Amen.
You know? And so culture would tell us that we can make up our own truth, even to the point where we can argue with DNA. So does anybody know what DNA stands for? Yeah, deoxyribonucleic acid. I have it written here. I'm not DNA. So it's defined as a self-replicating material that is present in nearly all living organisms and is the main constituent of chromosomes. It's the carrier of genetic information, the fundamental and distinctive characteristics or qualities of someone or something, especially when regarded as unchangeable. So that's the definition. All right, so scientists can find a cell that they deem to be millions of years old. That's their thing. They say things are millions of years old. Good for them. That's fine. If you're in that way of thinking, you actually dislodge the truth of the Bible.
You mean I have to live a million years?
No. The Bible is telling you the earth is 6,000 to 8,000 years old. And so if you're going to go ahead and say, hey, I believe the earth is millions of years old, like scientists tell me, but yet I still want to believe that by his stripes I am healed, it's either all true or it's not true. And this is one of the things that hangs people up. So they can find a cell they deem to be millions of years old, do a DNA test, and tell us if it's a man or an animal, male or female. They act like they can clone it. We've all seen the movies.
Yeah.
You know, I have a son. One of my sons was on a mission years ago to find dinosaur DNA so he could clone it. You know, that was his life mission at that point. And they act like they can give you a drawing of what that animal looked like. They could project exactly what it looks like. So you guys know these pictures of dinosaurs. I love them. I'm a big fan of a triceratops, which may or may not be a real dinosaur. They aren't sure. It is, and then it isn't, then it is, and then it isn't. Just like Pluto, this planet. It's too far away to tell if it's really a planet, so it might be this time and it might not be. Anyway, so truth. It either is or it isn't. So anyway, all these dinosaur replications are based on bones, so we don't actually know exactly what. Anyway. Alright, so we can look at a baby and say it isn't human because it hasn't been born, even if a DNA sample would say it is human. Also tell us what sex it is and what its heritage is. Alright, so now I know I'm getting out there on some things that a lot of people agree on and some people would disagree, but I want to challenge you with this. As we move forward as a body of believers, it's okay for us to not agree on everything. We can gather around the presence of the Lord and have different opinions about some things, and that's okay. Differing opinions don't make you my enemy. Also, something culture would tell you, if someone believes something different than you, they must be your enemy. Eagles fans, there's a lot of, it's fine, I'm not talking about the actual Eagles, I'm talking about Eagles fans. There's a lot of things that I can disagree with a lot of people about. But if they have an Eagles hat on, and we're walking through Walmart, we can be pals. Sometimes I don't watch the Flyers, but sometimes I put on a Flyers hat during hockey season because people talk to me. So it gives, they're like, they want to talk all about it. And I'm like, yeah, I feel that way too. Yeah. Yeah, that was a rough game. That was a rough game. Sounds rough. And then it's, but I'm making friends with guys. Anyway, so this is how this works. So, I think at this point in my message, keeping that in mind, we're talking about some things we may disagree on. I want to encourage you to vote. And I want to make it really easy for you. Now, it might not be hard for you to decide who to vote for, and that's fine, but I want to make it really easy for you. The parties have conventions. At the conventions, they refine their party platforms. Those are the truths that they stand on. They are supposed to define how they make decisions based on the future of the country in order to shape culture to their version of the truth. You can read the party platforms, and you'll find two different ideas of what truth is. You also can read the Bible and find out what is true. So then you just decide which platform is a better reflection of truth. There's challenging because people vote. You know, when you were in high school and they voted for, like, class president, that was a popularity contest. Some people haven't moved on from that. And some people really just want to be on the winning team of something. So they'll vote for who they think is going to win. And some people vote out of fear, which is I deliver all these things, you get them at your house, they cut my fingers up. Aww. Yeah, that's okay, I'm excited. We're getting out of paper cut season. They cut my fingers up, but all of these are like, be afraid. You know? And so if you're a spiritually sensitive person, we love you. Know there's a lot of fear in the atmosphere right now, and trust the Lord. We'll be happy to pray with you about that too. One of my children is very spiritually sensitive. He could care less about this election. He's a little kid. But I can see his little heart being scared of all kinds of things just because of what's going on around in the world around him. Okay, so vote. All right, John 3. Let's get back to the Bible. I'm going to read it in the New King James Version. I'm going to read a few verses. Then I'm going to read it in the Amplified Version while I break it down. So buckle up. We're going to read for a minute. John chapter 3. In the New King James Version, the heading that they put there is called the New Birth. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I have said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and you do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe me if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Took a lot of self-control to not talk about it as we did it. So I'm growing. All right, so in the Amplified Bible, same chapter heading, John 3, verse 1, it says the new birth. All right, we've all heard the expression born again. All right, now there was a certain man from among the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler, a member of the Sanhedrin among the Jews. So this guy, he's not a slouch. This is someone that studied the scripture. He's helped people connect with God through the old covenant. If you'd like more information about the covenants, on the podcast from last week, Dave shared about the covenants. So this guy, Nicodemus, comes to Jesus by night. He's a ruler. He's a leader. He's well studied. He has some desire to connect with God or he wouldn't have gone this route. He came to Jesus at night and said to him, Rabbi, teacher, we know without any doubt that you have come from God as a teacher. For no one can do these signs, these wonders, these attesting miracles that you do unless God is with him. So he's validating Jesus' ministry based on the signs and wonders. He's calling Jesus a teacher. That's the level he's willing to go to. And he has questions for Jesus. And Jesus answered him, I assure you and most solemnly say to you. So that assure and solemn. Hear the words, this is true and it's serious. Unless a person is born again, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and sanctified, he cannot ever see and experience the kingdom of God. Some of you thought we moved on from Romans 12:2, but we haven't. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And Jesus answered, unless a person is born again, spiritually transformed, renewed, and sanctified, he cannot ever see the kingdom of God. Romans 12:2 in the Amplified, since we're using it. Do not be conformed to this world or this age, fashioned and adapted to its external, superficial customs. But be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourself what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. So, let's talk about being born. We're talking about being born of the Spirit, being born again. Birth is a process. There's a reason they call it labor. There's a Polish mother, Joanna Kreis-Sternerneck. She was in labor for 75 days. All the men too. Come on. The average pregnancy is 280 days. Now, I understand the average pregnancy is uncomfortable. Anyone want to say, yeah, uncomfortable? No one wants to give me that. Depends on the day. So there's some discomfort involved in being pregnant?
Sure.
Okay, thanks. You're like, it's easy. I can't even do it, so it's not easy. So the average pregnancy is 280 days, about 9 months. Los Angeles resident Beulah Hunter went through a pregnancy that lasted over a year in 1945. She was pregnant for 375 days.
Oh my God. Why?
I didn't tell me why. She gave birth to a healthy baby. I closed the website and just put the note in my notes. All right.
On the internet, it must be true.
So guys, these are real people. In 2013, in England, identical twins were born 87 days apart.
Oh my God.
Mother went into labor, stopped.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The one was real preemie. The other one was born full term. Yeah. So. The heaviest baby ever born that survived was 22 pounds, 8 ounces. The earliest baby born that has survived is James Gill. He was born in 1987 in Canada. James was born at 21 weeks and 5 days, meaning he was 128 days early. His birth weight, this is a real person, his birth weight was a minuscule 1 pound and 6 ounces.
Wow.
At the time of his birth, doctors expected James to pass away because he was so drastically premature. He did survive. He is completely normal, has no handicaps, and grew up to be a healthy man. So birth is a process. I was involved in three births. Some of you think I'm about to tell you a deep, dark secret from my past. I'm counting the one that I was born. Thank you for those of you that believed in me. And yes, they were the greatest moments of my life, but there are some things I want to unsee. Labor and birth is a process. One of the things that I just want you to consider is a lot of times people will use this phrase. They'll say, if something's God, it wouldn't be so messy. But yet Jesus talks about being born of the Spirit. And it's a little messy. Yeah. So if this was the way Jesus chose to explain being born again to us, it's worth considering that being born again might involve a little bit of a process. Now, put your rocks down. I'm going to make this very clear, okay? Jesus, and in verse 3, I'm going to read it again. Jesus answered him, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, this is true and this is serious. Unless a person is born again, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed and sanctified, he cannot ever see and experience the kingdom of God. So there's this moment in parents' lives where everything changes. It's the pregnancy test. I'm so glad there's not any little kids here. I was going to censor all this. From the moment you receive a positive pregnancy test, your life changes. So, you know, this happened in my life a couple times. And you guys know how it works. There's a stick and there's lines. Something happens and then there's either one line or two lines. And so when this happened the first time, it's not like, you know, and you're making small talk because you don't want to get excited. You don't know what's going on. And then those two lines happen. If my wife came out with two lines and I was like, whoa, Al said the funniest thing at work today. But that's not how it happens. You get that positive test and your life changes. And almost every conversation is about the coming birth. You know, and so I think it's important when Jesus is using birth as an analogy that it's not something you can ignore. You can't pretend you're not pregnant. We somehow think it's this easy, fast thing because we see the plump little lady and then she goes away. And then the next Sunday or 2 weeks later, we see her at church with the baby. So it must have been super easy. So think about this. If the natural birth that happens changes people's lives, shouldn't the spiritual birth that happens change your life? Are we offering a life-changing gospel message? Or are we offering an add-on? Are we offering a two-hour-a-week Sunday morning self-help program? You know, when I was in India, and I might be getting ahead of myself, it was really easy to lead people to Jesus in India. Super-duper easy. Until you realize they're making Jesus God 4,000,001. Because they're a multi-god culture. Interesting enough, since there's no little kids here, one of the top gods' name is Brahman. And when I was 15, that was hilarious. So you know, and so they're doing this thing and they're adding. But are we doing that? Is salvation just this little add-on and our life doesn't change? And so what is it that you want? Do you just want assurance of salvation? Do you just want to go to heaven when you die? A little God help here and there during your life? Or do you want the kingdom of God on earth? Life and life more abundant. And so verse 3, I'm going to read it again. Jesus answered him, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, unless a person is born again, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, sanctified, he cannot ever see and experience the kingdom of God. I'm going to tie this up in a minute, but hang with me. So Nicodemus said to him in verse 4, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter his mother's womb a second time and be born, can he? And Jesus answered, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, this is true, this is serious. Unless one is born of water and born of the Spirit, he can never enter the kingdom of God. So Jesus is bringing clarity. You were physically born, but he's referring to another birth, being born of the Spirit. The Greek word there for born, genaio, G-E-N-N-A-O, genaio, okay? And it would be defined as of men who fathered children. So think about fathers. I'm a mini, slightly taller version of my father. In my body, there's actually physical DNA parts from my father. He makes a contribution. He can't do it by himself, and he doesn't have to do the hard parts. But there is, in my physical, I look like him. But there's also in my character, in my personality, in the way that I do things, learned behavior from hanging out with my father. I change brake pads like my father. I change oil like my father. I laugh at things my father thought were funny. And so, you know, when we talk about being born again, there is an aspect, this definition of being born of your, this is confusing because we, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, but it's being like your Father, the Spirit. Born of the Spirit, renewed, transformed, having a portion of who you are be from the Spirit, learning to behave like the Spirit. In verse 6, Jesus said, that which is born of flesh is flesh. The physical is merely physical, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be surprised that I have told you. You must be born again, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and sanctified. So in verse 8, Jesus says this thing, and it says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it is coming from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. We're going to talk about that in a second. Nicodemus said to him in verse 9, how can these things be possible? Jesus replied, you are the great and well-known teacher of Israel. Remember, I told you, he's not a slouch. And yet you did not know or understand these things from Scripture. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, this is true. This is serious. We speak only of what we absolutely know and testify of what we have actually seen as eyewitnesses. And still you reject our evidence and do not accept our testimony. If I told you earthly things, that is things that happen right here on earth, and you do not believe, how will you trust me when I tell you heavenly things? Now here's some interestingness. I think I might have made up a word there. Here's what's interesting about this passage. What earthly thing is Jesus talking about? So I always thought it was birth or wind. You know, when he talks about the wind blows wherever it wishes and you hear the sound, but you do not know where it is coming from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. So if Jesus was talking about wind, he would have said, wind is basically just movement of a bunch of air in the same general direction. Differences in air pressure and temperature get it going. What causes these differences is the sun. Because the earth rotates, solar light rays heat up parts of the earth's surface more than others. Air at hot spots rises and expands, leaving low pressure beneath it. Air at cool areas cools and falls, creating high pressure. When high pressure air rushes into a low pressure area, that's wind. Natural. All right, so the verse is not about wind. The verse is about being born of the Spirit. Being born of the Spirit is an earthly thing. Sure, it happens supernaturally, but it happens on earth. People in heaven don't get born again. People on earth get born again. The Spirit transforms people's lives on the earth. You can see the results of that on the earth. You don't understand where it came from or where it's going, but it's an earthly thing. So then, in verse 13, no one has gone up to heaven, but there is one who came down from heaven, the Son of Man himself, whose home is in heaven. Just as Moses lifted up the bronze serpent in the desert on a pole, so must the Son of Man be lifted up on the cross, so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life after physical death and will actually live forever. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world. For me, it's really interesting. Because for God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world, not because of pity or compassion, not because he felt obligated to rescue people. He loved and valued. Jesus came because God valued us. God saved you because he dearly prized you. There's a man at the Wawa in Pottstown. and he's hanging out right by the door, and he's a Vietnam vet, and there's some stuff going on, and just being honest with you, I've spent time talking with him, I've given him stuff, and I'll tell you, I was doing that because of compassion and pity, not because I valued who the Lord created him to be. You know, and when we talk about reaching out and looking at people, are we looking at future sons and daughters of God who were created with value, or people we think are hopeless and needy and we're going to pity them enough to help them? Just an interesting thing. And also in your own heart, do you feel like Jesus came to save you because you were so worthless that you needed saving, or because he saw the value that he put in you and he wanted it back because it was stolen from him? For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he gave even his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes and trusts him as Savior shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, this is where I'm going to ask you guys to consider something. We're talking about two different things. And it's become, we're talking about two different things. And I think we may have labeled the wrong thing being born again. Because there is a salvation thing being talked about right here. And this is what it says. It says, whoever believes and trusts him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And we've come to know that as being born again. We've come to know the believing and trusting in Jesus as receiving eternal life as born again. But I just want to propose, and I want you to think about this, I want you to consider it, is being born again, being born of the Spirit, becoming like the Holy Spirit, receiving part of him in you, and having that change your behavior and who you are. And is that maybe separate? I mean, it's all one big process, but is that actually separate to the actual believing and receiving the forgiveness of your sins and having eternal life? Verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to judge and condemn the world, that is to initiate the final judgment on the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes and has decided to trust in him as personal Savior and Lord is not judged. For this one there is no judgment, no rejection, no condemnation. I'm going to go ahead and read that again. Verse 18, whoever believes and has decided to trust him as personal Savior and Lord is not judged. For this one there is no judgment, no rejection, no condemnation. How cool is that? Sorry. But for the one who does not believe and has decided to reject him as personal Savior and Lord, he is judged already. That one has been convicted and sentenced because he has not believed and trusted in the name of the one and only begotten Son of God, the one who is truly unique and the only one of his kind, the one who alone can save. So as we close, I just want you to consider this question. Did your life change when you received Jesus? Was it just an add-on? Just another God? And I say that like we're not Hindu, but there's things in our lives that we give a lot of power to. And it's like, did Jesus take that power? Did he become the thing that we give all the power to be our God? Or do we just add them on? You know, a lot of people, when they come to Jesus, they kind of sort of keep doing everything they did before, and they add a little Jesus. And separately from that, you know, we talk about the kingdom all the time. We do. And we say, why don't we see this? And why don't we see that? And I'm not, what I'm not trying to do is put you in a position where you doubt your salvation. We read that verse, believe and receive and saved. But what I want is to put us in a place where we assess our relationship with the Holy Spirit. When we talk about being born again, are we talking about being of the Spirit? Are we talking about the Spirit in us changing who we are? There's an invitation to be born again, transformed, renewed. And it's more than just an add-on. And so what I want to do as we close, I'm just going to pray for everybody. But I just want to take a second and just have us kind of hold our lives before the Lord. Not in a place where he's gonna condemn or smash us, but where he's gonna invite us into a deeper place. So just go ahead and close your eyes. So, Father, we hold our lives before you. We want to see ourselves with your eyes. We want to see the value that you put in us. We want to see the way that you see us. We thank you that you came to save us. Lord, we want everything that you have for us on the earth. We want to be a people that bring your kingdom. We want to be born of your Spirit. I mean, if that's real for you this morning, just put it before him and say, I want to be born of your Spirit. So, Father, we don't mind if it's messy. We just pray that you would bring clarity to this for us. And Father, help us to value people the way that you value people, that we see your sons and your daughters, that we're not motivated out of pity, but we're motivated out of love.
Amen.
And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I mean, we'll pursue this kind of moving forward a little bit. And this is just, you know, I don't think it tied up as nicely as I wanted to. We can tie it up in the weeks to come. If you've never, or you feel like your decision with the Lord to serve the Lord wasn't real for you, or you've never done it, we would love to do that with you. It's a real easy prayer, talk, cry, hug. But from this, you know, we're moving forward into so many things, and we're working on foundational things. So if you're in doubt of your salvation, let's tie that up, okay? Good. All right, thanks everybody for coming. Have a good week.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania.
I'm digging a well in the valley of my weeping.